Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game. In this episode, your host Lewis Irons is joined by Head of Coach Education and Development Greg Patterson, Coach Education and Development Manager Richie Wilson, and Head of Community Development Paul McNeil. Gentlemen, here we are back around the table. Slightly different approach today. There's a lot of explaining, a lot of back and forth, I'm sure, to go here. I'm looking forward to getting my teeth right into this, and I'm sure you all are as well. Greg, let's go to it.
Welcome back.
I'm delighted to be back, but this is a big one. This is a meaty one to go through, and for many reasons.
Yeah, in terms of coach education and in terms of the workload, I suppose, that we've added in the last year, it is a big one for the start of 2020. So what we've done is we've refreshed all our level one courses essentially. Now that doesn't matter what pathway you're talking about, whether that be our main and youth pathway, our children's pathway, or even our futsal or goalkeeping pathway. All those courses at the level one have now been refreshed. So in the past, coaches might have talked about doing their 1.1 or 1.2 and their 1.3. So all those courses have now been redeveloped, refreshed, freshened up, modernised, and all those kind of fancy words. So we're looking forward to start rolling them out in 2020.
And the overall goal and the aim of it is to reflect the modern day player, coach, because we can't just sit and stagnate, can we? We've got to develop as the game develops and as the individuals involved in the game develop.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as the game moves on and we see trends changing, and we're very fortunate that we do obviously see a lot of, you know, the kind of current best practice coming from even Champions League and Europa League matches through UEFA work that we do. So it's always good even just to try and filter that down into the grassroots game and make sure that the practices that we provide are the most modern that we can do.
Paul, what do you see being the biggest developments when the barriers in coaches' ways as they're trying to make it? What do you see from your side?
I think as Richie says and Greg articulates well, we see different trends happening in the games, but you've also got to remember we're still then dealing with a fantastic volunteer coach, yeah, who's turning up and who can get quite scared in terms of going, oh, I've got to go and deal with these 5-year-olds. So I think what the guys have done is really fantastic, and I'm sure they'll touch on it as we go, but to make that a bit more about what can I do to turn up and how can I articulate to a 5-year-old if I'm only a joiner in a shipyard and I've never really dealt with a 5-year-old before. So being able to ask those questions, the what's, the where's, why are you doing it? There's lots of context. We're really lucky because content is now on the web so much and on Twitter and on social media. There's a lot of content out there, but still, how do you deal with a child? So I think that's going to be really, really great, and it will allow our volunteer coaches to be a wee bit more comfortable coming into an environment sometimes that might be a wee bit alien to them.
In the past, we used to, and I remember the days we produced
DVDs,
but I can go back to VHS.
Yeah,
and it was important that we provided that content for the coach because they maybe hadn't had access to anything like that previously. But just the way the world is now, social media, you know, World Wide Web, there's so much out there. So what we've done in this redevelopment and this refresh as well, although we are still going to provide some content, just to say here is some decent practices that you might want to use, it is more about the how-to skills, you know, and why you're doing something in a particular way, recognising the age of the player, the ability level of the player, the maturation of the player, a number of these things, and that's the big focus for us now.
Yeah. Is it crucial, Greg, that, there's a big restructure, but you also do learn as you go? As the coaches pick it up, that you keep up with the trend as well?
I think Richie summed it up well there by saying it's the how-to. You know, I think at level one it is the how-to, the how-to coach. You know, talking about voice projection, you know, as simple as voice projection and coaching position, as Paul said, can be daunting to a coach. Yeah. And even sometimes I'm not sure about the connotation of the word coach, because these guys, is, you know, they're 9 to 5 or even longer days as joiners and electricians and everything else, are trying their best then to help, you know, the kids in their community at night. So they're not per se a coach, you know, they're a leader or they're a facilitator. So I do think Richie summed it up well by saying it's the how to, and then we can start looking at the what and the why, you know, once you get into level two and beyond.
And I think Richie touches it well. I mean, if we go back all the way when Early Touches was out, there was so much content in that, and I think people would come in and go, I'm going to do King of the Ring and then I'm going to move on to this, without ever pausing to go, did that work? Can I reflect on myself? And we're not saying anything. Greg's absolutely right. These are not people who are full-time employees coaching. these are people who are giving up hours upon hours of their own personal time, and they require the building blocks to be able to say, did that situation work for me? And maybe it's just the players aren't ready for that. Maybe you have to go back and go, do you know something? Maybe just let's play a game, and I can calm down a little bit. And I think that's the bit, and we then allow them to relax a little bit more in the environment rather than thinking, I need to do 300 drills in an hour. No, you don't. You maybe just do one or two, and as long as children leave that pitch quite happy, then their environment to learn becomes more positive. And if we can make the environment positive, their learning ability becomes better, I think.
Yeah. And that starts with the coaches, obviously. If the coaches are comfortable, if the coaches are happy, that's going to, you know, flow down nicely. And Richie, I guess when you see it in practice and you see the coaches taking it in, I mean, the book's not been completely ripped up here. The coaches that have already on the pathway, you know, it marries in nicely. You know, there might be coaches sitting there going, oh, I'm halfway on the pathway, I'm going to have to restart, you know. That's not the case. It
absolutely better. Not. No, there's equivalencies and a document being created as well, so that you know that if you've completed a certain number of days or a certain number of courses previously, you've got that opportunity to continue to progress in the pathway. But just jumping back to something that Paul mentioned there, and it's so important about those positive environments, you know, and there's been a campaign for us in a while talking about let them play. You know, and we're trying to make sure that message comes clear in coach education as well, because one of the first things I'll ask a coach on any course that we deliver, whether it's a UEFA licence or whether it's an introduction to coaching courses, what did you enjoy doing most when you were a kid? And they'll tell you, playing the game.
Absolutely.
So, and it goes back to the point Greg mentioned there about sometimes don't think about, you don't need to be a coach at times, you just organise activity. And if we can help you to do that and make sure players of all ages, not just kids, play the game and enjoy the game and enjoy those moments that you have doing it.
Yeah, that's where you get the best results, isn't it, ultimately, Greg, when it is born from that seed, if you like. Let them play, let them be passionate.
I think, you know, we're talking about level one stuff again here, but if we look at kind of level five, and we looked at, you know, doing a CPD a couple of weeks ago for pro licence holders, you know, what we call the midfield masterclass, and Rich is bang on, you know, with Scott Brown, Paul Scholes, Darren Fletcher, Michael Beale from Rangers, Scott Gemmell, all presenting on that day about how to work with midfielders. But essentially what was, you know, the basis of what they all spoke about was what Paul and Richie have just spoke about. It was about playing the game. And it's that, particularly in modern society nowadays, you don't, you know, no longer do we drive by parks and see hundreds and hundreds of kids, unfortunately, playing. You know, modern society just dictates that that's not the case anymore. You know, you don't get kids playing Kirby and all that kind of thing in the streets, unfortunately.
A game.
Yeah, I know. A great game.
So,
double headers was my favourite.
So you've got to, our coach education structure now has got to reflect those needs, that the best players were probably born out of street football and born out of just playing the game and just allowing them to play the game.
And I think touching on the bit which I think Richie and the guys have done really well in terms of that journey they've went over this year and then going to be able to roll it out, is exactly that. You will turn up at most coaching sessions, particularly for children, and one of the first things they'll say is, when are we going to play? And normally, as you allude to it there, Greg, normally the person who thinks of their coach will push them back and go, oh no, we're going to do a warm-up, and we're now going to do this, and then we're going to go, and the wee kids are going, when are we going to play? Because all they've watched is Match of the Day, and they've seen a game of football, and that's why they come along to it. So I think this bit is more about being able to kind of give that game back, less rules, just let them enjoy it, and then you can component part the building blocks. And I think we take it, as we mentioned, from an education point of view, that discovery learning is so important, and schools are pushing more and more of that, and the infants kind of like the stuff over there, go and build. So kids go, what do you build? On you go and design it.
Express.
You go and do that. You go and be whoever you want to be, rather than saying you have to take that building block and build a green. Yeah. So I think that's, I really have been impressed with some of the fantastic stuff that I see for the guys, because it's been really, really interesting.
One of the changes that we're making, Lewis, is that in the 1.2 course, you know, the coaching certificate, the step up from the 1.1 introduction to coaching, is that In the past, we've always really just pedaled, the methodology has been a traditional training session. So let's warm up, let's do some sort of skill practice, yeah. Let's do something that's a bit game related, and let's play a game. Yeah. And that goes back to Paul's point that the kids want to play, yeah. Adults want to play as well. Yeah. And sometimes you do all these other things and you spend so much time trying to do your practices and your game related, you get 10 minutes at the end, yeah, for a game. You know, so we're trying to reverse that a little bit, and we're using a methodology called whole, part, whole, which isn't new, you know, and we've used it in other programmes in the past, but certainly we're actually now going to promote that actively as part of our coach education programme, that come in, start with a game, yeah, let them play, mm-hmm, and then actually maybe go and do a little bit of your coaching work and your education and your teaching and your guided discovery somewhere in between. Can they learn some lessons? And then let's go back into the game and see if the work that you've done in your technical, yeah, practice, you can take it into the game. So straight away, we're hoping that more sessions, more gameplay, more enjoyment, and more player development, yeah, even go back to the point that Greg's mentioned about the street football environment.
That's it. And looking even further forward, I'm just thinking about when you're saying that, Richie, when I was training as a young boy, it was at the end of the session, 10 minutes, and that's what you're there for the whole session, for that last 10 minutes, and then it's over before you know it. Yeah. So driving forward, Greg, I mean, the golden question, what results are we going to get from this? Surely it's going to benefit everyone.
Well, you would like to think so. Again, it's you know, Paul will probably talk about, you know, improving that volunteer base. Yeah. You know, and the more volunteers we've got, the more healthy our game is. You know, I look at, you know, my own son's team, and we've got about 40-odd kids now. I've probably got about 4 volunteers, but, you know, speaking to parents and things and trying to encourage them to help, because I'm chock-a-block and I can't always make it, you know, and it is just about, as Richie's just spoken about, it is just about letting them come in, putting down some goals, letting them play as they arrive, just the play as they arrive, and then maybe doing some relays, some basic stuff, and that kind of whole part whole that Richie's explaining them, then letting them play again. So it's about not scaring them off. So the more volunteers we can attract by kind of seeing that model, rather than I don't know enough about football, that kind of mindset that I don't know enough about football to put together 10 drills and a skill, yeah, practice and a condition game and a game-related practice, even all that kind of jargonese for them that might scare them off. So if we can increase the volunteer base, that will hopefully then increase the amount of kids playing football, because you hear about football teams, grassroots teams all the time, having to limit their numbers, yeah, because they don't have that volunteer base to help them. Yeah. So if we can increase the volunteer base, that hopefully increases the player base. And then when the players are actually arriving and they're involved in play, and it's that involved from the minute they arrive to the minute they leave as well. You know, it's getting away from the bus queues and the traditional, what we've kind of known as drills. And again, I'm big on words, as you can gather. We've already talked about the word coach. The word drills as well, to me, just gets scary. Yeah. Drill sounds like, you know, a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
Drill sergeant's going to come and tell us what to do. You know, drill, so it's you know, it's again, back to the language that Rich is using. It's, you know, it's game-related stuff, and it's, you know, it's just allowing them to, yeah, experience things within
and
the game.
And it's the one that will hopefully maybe change in terms of we've always spoke about, is people say, oh, I'm coming along to training, and it's kind of the most daunting thing, yeah, you think in the world. You think training, and you can't actually think of a word you can kind of go
practice. Americans are great at it. Americans never go, yeah, to train; they go to practice.
And you, yeah, think, well, that's so. We maybe need to start that bit, because it is that. And I think sometimes you were meant about how you. Yeah. What do we see going forward? I think this is hopefully a bit of a tidal wave of change, yeah, coming, a cultural change, and that's what we're really, really trying to create. This won't happen tomorrow morning. It certainly won't happen on the 1st of January 2020, but we can start to then allude to changing terminology, how, yeah, people perceive it, bringing back that kind of word of fun. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And Richie means it doesn't matter if you're an adult playing in the amateur, but you still want to turn up and you still want a game of football. Sometimes you turn up and you go, do I need to really run up first lamppost and back, second lamppost and back? Can I not just play a game of football?
To go back to your question, Lewis, what changes are we going to affect? People might look at this, they've changed their coach education structure in 2020, therefore we're going to start qualifying and winning World Cups in 20. That's not the case. We're talking about level one stuff here. Yeah. We're talking about grassroots. We keep using the word children. Richie's right, he corrects us.
Yeah.
Youths, adults, if Fraser was here as well, he'd talk about the goalkeepers. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of years and years of fruition, yeah, from being an 8-year-old kid or a 14-year-old youth player to get through, yeah, to the, you know, to get through to first teams, and then we can start talking about UFA licences and pro licences. That's a whole other conversation. So yeah, it will take, we believe we're on the right path now,
yeah,
and it will take years and years to see that fruition. But I think, as to go back to it, it's about building that foundation base of of participation.
That's what I love about these podcasts. One question and then it just goes, we're off, we're off. But it's right, that's what I was going to say, when you started talking about the cultural aspect to it, I mean, we look at this pathway, it felt for a wee element there that we were just talking about, you know, children's growing up. But look at all these pathways. We've got futsal, you know, which is growing and growing. I guess, Richie, it is a bigger picture than just this pathway. It is about gradually changing the culture a little bit.
Absolutely, and I think even aside from what we do on course, you know, when you look at the different pathways, and at 1.2 level it's classed as a certificate course now, which is 2 days, and then you get into your 1.3, which is now classed as an award, which is another 2 days. But these are just 2 days that you come to us, and part of the kind of refresh and the redevelopment is utilising online material more. You know, so we've already got child wellbeing, we've got mental health coming in 2020, but we're already looking at things like, how do we incorporate things like long-term player development, which is again a message that we've been speaking about since 2012, but how do we just encourage people to, one, attend the course, get the knowledge, get the benefit from that, but then also have that capacity to go and look online and again be guided, you know, by us, so, and hopefully by themselves and their own curiosity. Absolutely. I would suggest, which is massive for a coach. Mm-hmm. Be curious, go and find things out, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that is such, I think the online bit is really important, and if you put the two bits of the building blocks together with having that skill set to reflect but also ask the what's and the why's, then having the content, you don't then just go back and I think Richie makes that very valid point about an adult, you only ever do what was done to you. So we still would get people, you still hear it, still people going, let's do 6 inches. And you get all these people lying in their back, lifting 6 inches up, like their ankles are. And you think, what's that got to do with fitness? Nothing, absolutely nothing. But it's because somebody's went, well, that person did that to me.
Yeah.
So I think this will be a whole bit of us being able to change cultural approach, looking online, thinking, I wonder how I could adapt that, I wonder how I can make that fun, I wonder if I could ask that question. Because we've got to remember that most players are sponges.
Yeah.
They'll go in, if it doesn't work, just move on to something else. Yeah. Don't panic about that, and I think that's the thing that we'll give. And then, you're right, then you will hopefully get, as Greg says, people coming up through the pathway going, do you know something, this fun activity was done to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that to somebody else, because I'm not going to make them run up and down hills with people on their back with bin bags on and all that. But it is, it's about changing a mentality, about trying to help and trying to support people.
And I mean, what this network, if you like, links to is coaches, and you're dealing with people who are passionate about the game, but at the same time it's your job to give them an incentive to keep developing up the pathway, isn't it? That's what you, that must be a challenge surely, to keep coaches progressing even as much as they have that passion for it.
Yeah, and even we've talked about terminology a few times, so far, and you know, even changing the wording, you know, Richie's touched on that, you know, so the level 1.2 we'll now call certificate level courses.
Yeah.
And then what's traditionally known or has been known in the past few years for as a 1.3, we'll call that award level.
Yeah.
So we would like people to start thinking about becoming an award level coach rather than I'm a 1.2 level coach, I'm a 1.3 level coach, I've now got a children's award, I've now got a futsal award, a goalkeeping award, because I've completed those three levels, which will hopefully encourage them then up the pathway. We're very fortunate, actually, when you look across other nations in Europe, we're very fortunate in that, from a coach education perspective, in that the SYFA, the Scottish Youth FA, put that kind of minimum criteria as a 1.2. So that'll be what's now known as a certificate level.
Yeah.
But given what we've done with the pathway, and given the kind of added incentives we'll give coaches to get to the award level, you know, maybe in time SYFA might actually say, well, do you know what, maybe it's about time that we up the ante a bit and we go to 1.3.
Yeah. And I think not only a player, and I think a coach, if they enjoy it, come back. And I think that's one thing we've seen. If the product's really good, somebody will go, I mean, similar to what Greg was mentioning there with my son's team, I watch coaches at my own club coming back and looking to go and do more courses, and you think, you're giving up so much of your time, and what? And they go, because I want to learn. And do you know the one thing that you always find is they want to give back.
Yeah.
So they want more skills. They want to be better. They want to be, because you're right, as Greg said, that 9-to-5 job or much longer of being taxi drivers, you know what I mean, so on and so forth, they want to give back and they want to be skilled up, and they understand that.
Yeah.
And if we make the pathway fun, as in terms of playing the game, but also the coach education bit being rewarding, then you get people just coming back because you go, I want a bit more of that.
I think that is something, that's probably another message spinning out of that, and I know we're here to talk about a coach education yeah. pathway, but you know, I think I talked earlier about trying to encourage that volunteer coach or that volunteer, that facilitator, whatever we want to call them at the very, very lowest level, trying to encourage them in the first instance. But once they're in, gee whiz, it's difficult to get rid of them. They're in. Yeah. You don't want to get rid of them. But Paul's right, they want more. Yeah. They want to be involved more. They're on the phone to you asking about this and that. And the next thing, they just get sucked right in. And that's the beauty of the game of
that
football.
That is.
Yeah, and I think if you give them those skills, yeah. you just then allow them to go, this is actually really fun. I actually really enjoy this because I'm more confident to go on that pitch rather than turning up and going, oh my goodness, what are they 45-year-olds looking at of me? And I've got to do something with them. Whereas they go, right, wait a minute, yeah. I can just put a few goals down here yeah. and let them play. And then I can relax and I can think what to do next. And I think taking that stress levels out allows the coaches to move up. And once you've got them in there, Greg's right, the guys will look after them really well because yeah. they'll progress through and they'll go, do you know something? I could maybe go and do a wee bit more. And I could maybe learn a bit more. And I think the products the guys have created now is really, really strong.
But I guess, Rich, it's far from a case of the work's gone into putting this into practice and January rolls round, there we go, job done. There's going to be a lot of challenges down the line.
There's challenges, it's ongoing as well, the work. Interestingly, you mentioned that word challenge, just listening to Paul speaking there, and he's talking about the various challenges that coaches have when they're actually out working there, regardless again of age or level they work at. But one of the workshops, which is a change for us as well, that we now do a lot more workshops rather than just always practical content. And one of them we've introduced right at the very start now, an introduction to coaching course, which we've had some fantastic feedback on, is we do an hour on challenges of a coach, where we actually just have an open discussion and we let people feedback and people talk to each other. And the great story that we've heard recently is that you've got guys sitting in a room who have maybe played 4v4s and 5v5s, yeah. they're now at 7v7 and they've gone through it, but you've got a guy who's just starting out for yeah. their very first time. So they're actually sharing ideas with each other. So it's not all about the Scottish FA's coach education programme, it's us actually facilitating mm-hmm. opportunities for the football family yeah. to almost learn from one another. Yeah. I've lost what you asked me now, challenges. So I was away on that challenge. That was the challenge. But for us, one of the biggest challenges we've had is because we've got so many courses and we're trying to modernise everything, it's been a case of redoing session plans, updating content that we spoke about to come up with some modern practices, refilming everything as well. So we've been utilising the Orium facility and some of the performance school players who have been fantastic to do the video sessions. So if you're a coach now, you can go into Scottish FA Live, the learning management system, you can download your session plan, you can download your video file. And of course for us, it's now just an ongoing process of making sure that if we see another new practice or we get an opportunity to develop another new workshop, yeah. we just keep yeah. doing it. So we'll continually challenge ourselves, I suppose, to continue to challenge football, to challenge coach education, just to try and make things better.
See, just in the challenge bit, and I think just if I just rewind a wee bit what Richie meant there about people speaking, I think that will be one of the best things. You've got to remember, we're all in this together. You mentioned about, to Greg, where will you see it going? And Greg's saying, well, it's not going to be first of January, we're going to qualify and win World Cup. But we've got to remember, as a football family, we're in this to make a difference to either adults, children, whatever, and getting them to discuss things is so critically important. Yeah. Because if you're somebody who's just coming into it and you're going, I'm going to do it, don't worry, here's an idea. Yeah. Here's something I learned, rather than maybe the facilitator on the course doing it. And I think that is something that we've never done because it was so daunting, wasn't it? Sometimes you would turn that course and you would have all the guys in their tracksuits, every one of them would have left and never spoke to each other. Yeah. Whereas if we can calm that down, yeah. have a conversation, then when I meet you on a Saturday, I can go, that work? Can I swap an idea? And I think that is something that is really, really important as we change a bit of a culture. Let's be honest, in the children's pathway in particular, we are trophy free until children get to secondary school. There's nothing to gain here apart from making sure children are happy. That's all we're in it for. So let's make sure that we make that environment as good as we possibly can, because there's enough time to stress about other things. And if we do that, we can then discuss the ideas. And I think Richie's brilliant about that one, about then people can upload, look at this session, and the social media environment we've got, people share a lot of things. Yeah. And it's great for us because it makes it become a collective effort yeah. to make a difference. So I think that will be such a big difference, because the old taxi driver turning up and having to speak might be daunting, but once he's done it, wow, I've got a new friend and I've got a new idea, and I feel
more. And then he might end up playing, the person he's talking to, he might end up playing against them a couple of weeks later, and at least then he's got a point of contact and a reference, and he knows it's not threatening rather than thinking, oh, I've got to beat this guy or whatever. Oh, there's that guy that was on the coast to me, he never spoke to me. Yeah. But we're now, as Richie said, we're now putting him in that better learning environment. And just maybe to touch on that, actually, myself and Richie were away, another couple of guys from football development were away on what they call a UEFA Share study visit recently. And, you know, UEFA, again, it's pleasing for us to know UEFA are talking about the kind of modern way of learning, adult learning principles that they're now trying to get across to all the national associations. So Paul's right, traditionally it was that 40 people in a room and just lecture to that and just show them a battery of activity, and that worked all the way up to pro licence, you know, traditionally sitting in a lecture theatre and listening to lectures. But now it is all about breaking that down into small kind of chat rooms, if you like, small, you know, working groups, and getting people learning from each other, and the tutor being more of a facilitator then, the coach educator being more of a facilitator to encourage that learning environment, that better learning environment, and all that experience that's probably in the room at one point. So as I said, it's really, really encouraging for the likes of Richie and I to go along there with another, I think, six or seven nations, and see that actually, do you know what, we're actually moving in this direction anyway. You know, this is the best practice that's coming from UEFA, but we're almost there. We're ready to roll this out come January.
Yeah, because this isn't just affecting your young, hungry, aspiring coach. You know, there's experienced coaches out there that are already on the pathway that will still be picking things up and learning as the game develops, and that's part of the challenge of football, isn't it? Developing with the game.
I think you can always learn. Yeah. You know, Greg's mentioned that event that we're in Stockholm the other week there, so we're learning.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few ideas come out from UEFA. They call it their kind of interactive learning toolbox.
Yeah.
So they had 20 different ways of how to facilitate that conversation. And we've already discussed, you know, let's pick six of these. You know, some we've used in the past, but let's pick six and actually we'll use them now as part of our course content as well. So I think you're always learning, regardless of how many years you've been involved in the game, regardless of your experiences within the game and out with the game, there's hopefully always something there for you. And again, dependent on where you come in the pathway and which level you come in at, it should be relevant to, you know, your purpose of work at that point in time. But as Greg says, people come in, and if we're doing our job properly, they'll stay in because they'll want more and they'll want to learn more and they'll want to progress through the pathway. And at the same time, Lewis, we'll fully understand if somebody says, I've met my 1.2 SYFASWF criteria and that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Hopefully those 3 days that you've spent with us then is going to be of use to you, and it can help you in your particular journey. But for that coach that actually does want to progress and has got aspirations of coaching, if we can consider it as coaching, then there's a pathway for them to follow that takes them all the way through to licence level, whether it's in goalkeeping, whether it's in the youth and adult pathway, and also even within the children's pathway, which we have in our country. So,
one of the things that you said, Paul, I just wanted to go back to, is that, you know, when you're on these coaches, or if you're these courses, sorry, or you're a coach, the people you'll meet, the connections you'll make, the practice that you share, and encouraging that. But also, this seems like to me a very two-way conversation, wherein you're taking into account the challenges of a coach, catering it now to them to make it more, not appealing, but certainly more doable and fitting in with
them. I think it shows maybe the modernisation of us as an association. Yeah. I think, you mean, the Scottish FA has over the years had lots of criticisms, Blazer Brigade and so on and so forth. I think what we are really trying to do is we say, well, we want to listen to you as well. We want to make this a two-way process. We want to share it. Richie and the guys are talking about there about sharing content from the rest of Europe, the rest of the world, so on and so forth. Some absolutely fantastic stuff. But we've got to listen. We've got to hear what a grassroots coach. And I think that's something over the last year or so to make these changes. We listened.
I think that's very important, actually. Just whilst we're on it, it wasn't Richie, Paul, Doogie, Ben, the player and coach development managers decided to get in a room and change things. It was a lot of listening to people. It's a wee bit like the exit polls from the I never got asked when I left the polling station last week who I voted, but
you wonder
who the exit polls have asked. But we have consulted our affiliates, we have consulted coaches on the ground, we have consulted the tutors, you know, and you talk about the tutors, we've got, how many, Richie, 60, 70, I think, currently?
Plus,
you know, so we have consulted with all these people, and of course, all those tutors, they're not just tutors, you know, they're coaches in the game as well, at all different levels. So we've asked that huge amount of people, you know, school teachers and everything else, you know, before we get to this stage where, you know, we do need to make change. UEFA is another one. We're involved in the coaching network through Sports Scotland, so we're listening to what other sports are doing as well. So there's a huge amount of information. Although it starts on that, it's like people talking about, oh, you're an overnight success. There's no such thing, because there's about 10 years of hard work before that. So when we press the button on 1st of January and kind of launch these courses or make these courses now available to book, you know, there's probably 2-3 years work in there with an awful lot of people, with an awful lot of people to get there.
Yeah. And it's just a cultural change.
Yeah.
It's just about stretching out and going, look, we need to make everything as interesting as we possibly can. And I think as an association, we've got to always continually modernise. Greg and I talk about it quite considerably, about we take our sons and daughters' football teams and you see things and you think, and you bump into people and you have a chat and somebody will go, what about it? And you think, never thought about that. Let's have a think now, whether or not we could make this slight change. And I have to admit, you forget sometimes. I turn up on a Friday night and you'll say to somebody, you want to try it, and they'll go, no idea what I'm doing here. Yeah. And you forget that sometimes if you download something, you just need somebody to kind of help you. So I think, yeah, the bit about modernising, taking the steps forward, and we can't just, people think, can you not just go and change that tomorrow morning? Richie alludes to the video content, everything else. These all take an hour, a day, a week, a month, bit of resource in here. So it might look, when it all comes up, oh, there's a nice wee diagram and you've moved a box. Gosh, truth, that box took 2.5 years of hard work and back and forth about going, is this the right thing to do? Is that the right idea to put in there?
I think what we have done though is you know, that word modernisation again, and you know, what Rich and Paul have both spoke about, is that, you know, we can change. Richie's right, he touched on it earlier. You know, if we do see something, if we do go on another UEFA share and we see people from Norway do something, then we can change something. You know, it's not like we've got 10,000 catalogues now sitting in a cupboard and you have to get through those 10,000 before you could change them.
Yeah.
You know, but we are online now. Yeah. We are hopefully a lot more user-friendly through Scottish FA Life, so we can make quick changes, even if it's a document, even if it's information. And dare I mention, you know, the recent studies on heading for you know, just now, you know, if there's information, we can push that out very quickly now.
Yeah.
Rather than having to wait for printed material, so to speak. So not only about modernising material, but modernising ourselves to be able to, I suppose, equip that kind of coaching workforce a lot better and a lot more.
I think the changes, and Greg talks to him about looking at other nations and other sports and everything. When we look at Belgium, for example, I was lucky enough to go across and they spoke about 2v2s, and you think, 2v2s? Surely that doesn't happen. And you had this conversation, and I remember myself and Scott Chapman standing at the side of the pitch while it was getting demonstrated for very young children, I'm talking about. And one of the guys that was there, who was a lot older, came wandering over and he went, they've just took two touch long shot, ain't they? And I thought, in this most simplistic way, he's went, aye, we used to do that in the 60s, as you were talking about street football. Mm-hmm. They created an environment, and I was going, aye, they've created a bit of a, which we used to do, because it was only 4Es. You would go out and get a couple of garages and you'd just play and you'd create these rules. So we have to always look and think, wonder how you can bring that back and do that. Make the game smaller, make it more interesting, but bring that other bit of content, that other things that sports do, how do people look at things, and put that into something and allow people then to be able to take them to the best of their capabilities and go and run with it. So I think it's great to be able to share things from other nations and other sports.
That's a good branch to go down, because we've spoke about the coaches, we spoke about you guys, but other associations and the work that they're doing, it will play a part. Let's not hide away from the fact that, you know, you learn from others and how the game's developing. And I guess there are good examples of other associations. You're touching on Belgium, but there'll be plenty of examples out there of that development and us learning, and of course passing our practice on to others as well and sharing that as we move forward.
I think that we always can learn. I think we spoke about that earlier as well. But I think we've got to be proud of some of the work that we do.
Yeah.
You know, Greg touched on it there at that event in Stockholm recently there. It was very clear that we're on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we are delivering courses, the way that we facilitate courses, the ability to provide content there and then on the spot, it was certainly recognised then. And and even I'm going to probably go back to this introduction to coaching course, which for me is probably the biggest change that we've made, which sits across all the pathways that we've spoken about, the main pathway, goalkeeping, children's and the futsal one. And it goes back to that point again about letting them play. So you think even the titles that we've put in there, so aside from what we've classed as our introductory activities, which is some warm-ups and some technical practices, we've got 4v4 games in there, we've got challenge games in there, which are street football games, and we've got training games in there, which are other street football games. So even just language that we're starting, you know, about games and a games-based approach to learning. So while we spoke earlier about whole part, whole methodology, and we spoke about the importance of just let them play, we've actually tried to produce practice content that's within a game. So there's hidden learning taking place.
Yeah, and I think that will be the one bit that the hope for the cultural bit is to allow, from the let it play bit, we've got a big bit of work we're going to do to try and say to the coach, take a step back. And that's maybe the hardest thing that MD will ever have to do, because you think about it, you become so enthusiastic and you think, right, I'm going to start a team and I'm going to volunteer and I've went on my course, I've done my PVG and I've been online and I've got all this content and I've got... I went to ID Sports and I bought a big bag of footballs and a big bag of cones, and then we go,
good work with the sponsors.
I did well there. And then you want to say, just let it go. Whereas I think certainly over the years, you had people who were every 3 seconds, stop. Go back there. And you think kids are like that. Like Labrador dogs. They're just going, can I just go and run after the ball, please? And sometimes we just need to go. And that will be a big thing.
It's games-based approach, absolutely. And the thing is as well, we're given some ideas on how to do it. I'm sure and I'm convinced that the coach will take it back to their club and the kids will come up with games.
Yes, agreed.
The players will come up with games that they want to play. Oh, we play this one back at home, or we play this one at our school. Yeah. Brilliant, let's come and play it here now. Yeah. Let's make sure you enjoy it. And it's you know, you asked Greg about measurements of the course. Talk about measurements of a practice that a coach delivers. Yeah. See if somebody says, can we do that again? It's a good one, you put that in your back pocket, when we get in a game and can we do that again there you go. If you get that for the players, you know you're on the right track.
And I think the one thing that Richie, and I'll go all the way back to when he was talking about that workshop about speaking to the coaches and saying to him, what do you do? I think that's one thing that will help us as well, because I know I've said to a lot of the guys that I at my club is, ask the kids. And I don't think there's something we've ever really done, and a lot of people go, what do we ask them? Just ask them what they want to do. And if you spend half an hour with them at once a month, or just at the start when you're doing, we always talk about codes of conduct, right? And it's something that there's a big list of rules. Kids are sick and tired of rules sometimes. But if you say to them, look, here's something, you can't do that, but what do you want to do? As Richie says, they'll come up and go, can we do this, this and this? And if you set those environment and that create that culture, they'll buy into it. Yeah. And I think that's something that we maybe lost, because you would have just been thrown out the back door and you got on with it. Yeah. But all of our people that were big influences on our life probably were people who went, what do you want to do?
And you it's went, so important to put more and more match day scenarios into training now for kids, isn't it? Because they will, they'll engage in it, and you are seeing that they'll be more and more engaged and enthusiastic about it, but without probably realising, they'll be learning more and they'll be learning quicker, surely,
You've touched on something there as well, yes. You're probably, you know, it's that kind of game-related play, if you like, that both Richie and Paul have spoke about there. But you're touching on now on matches now. Yeah. Again, it's terminology, so you've pricked my ears up straight away talking about matches. So that's something, through all our Level 1 courses previously, we never touched at all on the match day. No. You know, and somebody might, or a coach or a leader might only have that group of kids, youth players, whatever they are, adults, they might only have them for one training session, and then they might have them on a Saturday. So we're talking about, we've talked here predominantly, in fact solely, about training sessions, you know, or practice sessions, as we're going to now try and call them. But, you know, they might have had the practice session on the Wednesday night, and then Sunday is the game, the match. Sunday's the match time. And it's, what do they do there? And yes, Richie spoke about that learning that they can now have from each other in the course and in the course workshops, but there's little modules now that will help them. You know, when they arrive at the match day scenario, what do they need to do? How do they need to approach it? How do they even convey information to the players about who's playing in what position, if that's relevant to where they are on the pathway as well?
Yeah, and I think that was a bit that we I know Greg and Richie were really, really strong on this, is to intertwine this with the pathway. I don't think we had intertwined it enough to say, I think Richie, I remember having a conversation with this nearly about a year ago now, going, well, if we are doing fours, we should be telling them about that. Yeah. We should be telling them that it's small-sided games, and how do you do it? So I think this will be really useful, because when somebody turns up, as again, they'll then go, right, okay, it's small-sided games. And small-sided games, as Richie says, is fine if you're even an adult team. Because you turn up sometimes and you might only have 8, 9, 10, why not just play a wee 4v4 game?
I've got a third of a pitch and 10 players.
So people go, I've not got half a pitch. And you think, well, you've got 10 players, just maybe get a nice wee high-tempo game going.
Yeah.
And it's as good. And you can coach within that environment. But I think it just then intertwines everything as we go. Yeah. Fours, fives, sevens, what do I do at the weekend? How do I feel more comfortable even speaking to the kids? I know Richie and I had that conversation we used to do on our, we still do in our player pathway, having those scenarios about bad coach, good coach, yeah, about how you have the challenge circle at the end. What did you do well today, Richie? Yeah. And see, just saying that to a child, they feel good about themselves. They feel really good in leaving.
When you talk about that intertwining, and that's why when you look at the pathway and you see introduction to coaching, it's across all paths, it's relevant for everyone. And yeah, you might have someone, you know, just down at the pub having a look at the pathway, because of course this is getting branded about the pub, lads, but you know, someone who maybe who's passionate about futsal will be looking at it and thinking, how does it relate? But there is this foundation that is so relevant for a coach going down any route, and that's crucial, isn't it? Surely in part
absolutely
of the development.
Absolutely. And we talk in the courses about the coach's toolkit. What's the basics you need to actually go and be able to facilitate sessions, deliver sessions, create the correct environment? That's what the introduction to coaching is about. So regardless of which pathway you're going to enter into, the basics are provided there. Then it becomes a little bit more specialist, whether you're working with youths or adult players, which is the 11-a-side game, the children's game, which is fours, fives, sevens or nines, and again, just that match day environment content that we're speaking about there. So 25% of the course has now been handed over to that. In the past, we didn't touch it. You only got that if you attended a player pathway workshop, you know, which again, only a very small percentage of coaches would attend that. So we're hopeful now that more of that match day environment in there is going to be a useful addition to that particular course. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
So in a nutshell then, we've got big year ahead and much more, Greg. 2020 is when it rolls out. We're all
2020 is when it rolls out. Yeah, so we'll kind of fly straight into it in January with the introduction to coaching, and then, you know, come February time we'll start looking at the certificate courses starting to get rolled out, and then maybe April, I'm saying maybe in April, we'll start rolling out the award level courses. So that's that kind of tiered approach as well, and that'll help people, hopefully, you know, help people plan ahead, you know, if you are starting in January. And we do, I've always noticed a spike, I'm sure the guys have as well in all their previous jobs, always noticed that spike in January of inquiries that come into the office, because a lot of people make it their New Year's resolution. A lot of people make it their New Year's resolution to help their kid or to, you know, to start volunteering. So the introduction to coaching will be available straight away in January, and then that, as I said, that kind of tiered approach to do your certificate level and your award level courses as well.
Yeah. Paul, I don't need to encourage you to be passionate and excited about things, mate, but looking ahead to the new year, it is exciting.
It is, and I think the one thing is, it's something fresh, it's new for us, we go again, and I think this will just, it will help our coaches or our facilitators, just our grassroots guys, to go, do you know something, I've got some more information. But more importantly, we'll then get that bit of feedback again, and again we go again. We go and we look, how can we modernise, how can we change? I don't think we are now an organisation that will stand still. Yeah. We will embrace technology, we will embrace this different way of working, we will look at things, we'll challenge things. If somebody asks it, we'll say, well, let's have a look. Yeah. Rather than going, no, this is the way we've always done it. And I think that this is about it. It's about changing an environment and a culture. And do you know something? We're moving forward, which I'm absolutely delighted about.
I think earlier in the podcast you said the words, it's just a cultural change, like no big deal, but it is, and it's about going forward in the right direction. And Richie, the man on the ground, seeing it getting rolled out, you must have a lot of excitement and optimism going forward too.
Absolutely. Greg mentioned earlier the tutor workforce that we have that deliver these courses throughout the country, and the player and coach development managers that work within our regional structures, and these guys have been invaluable, Lewis, in helping us to create the content and then delivering the content. But more importantly, just as Paul's touched on there, getting feedback, you know, and asking people for their views. You know, every course that we deliver out there, we should be asking people, you know, did you enjoy it? What went well? What did you learn from it? Is there anything you would change? Because when we get that feedback, we'll look at it and we'll think, well, how can we continue to improve and how can we continue to modernise? And as I say, just the way modern technology is, we now have that opportunity to do that. So it is a refresh, it's a modernisation, it's a change, and absolutely I think it will be of real benefit to the coaches out there and anybody who wants to get involved in coaching.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And well, it feels like we're only really scratching the surface and we could keep going on this, but I think that rounds it off nicely, Richie, to be honest. And I think it's a pleasure having you guys around the table.
Thank you guys.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.